Boy, manifestations were great, and they're always great, but in the sense that God talked about us being assured of Him, His Son, our future, His arms are out to us. He's, you know, always, we always have access to Him, and He is an open-handed God. He's not a closed-handed God. He's, you know, any of us that love each other, when somebody needs something, what do you do? Sure, whatever I could do, right? Well, what about God? He's incredible. So, okay, well, there's a premise in God's word that is absolute truth, and I'd like to start there regarding wisdom, and that would be Jeremiah 10:23. You don't have to turn there. This is very profound. I want to see at the end of this verse if I can get an amen from everybody. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need our God, don't we? And there's invaluable wisdom in the written word of God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Of course, Proverbs is loaded with things about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Wait till you get there. My son, verse 1, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment, equity, and every good thing. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you and understanding shall keep you. So we see a few things in here that are very important. First of all, that's where I can make the statement that the written word of God is full of wisdom, because it's his words we're supposed to seek primarily. We seek that and he will give us what we need to know. But when wisdom enters into your heart, verse 10, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will preserve you, or the direction or your purpose in life. You'll be set. You know, we think of Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7, really. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, how do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? You have to know what to trust in. How do we know what to trust in? From his written word. Then on top of it, he can give us revelation, but we're not even getting to that part yet. We're just going for the wisdom of God today. Some characteristics of the wisdom of God and some things about it, because it's such a broad topic and it's so deep. It's very deep, as we all know. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that's what we do. We remind each other of these things. Let's go to Psalm 111. Yeah, 111. I have to write down all these references because I'm a math moron. I can't remember numbers. I even mess up our checkbook all the time. I put the numbers backwards all the time. Bad. All right. Psalm 111. And we're going to see this several places, but it's very interesting. Now, we all know the fear of the Lord. The word fear means reverence or having a great awe for the bigness of God or the godness of God or the characteristics of God, what he's done, what he does do, what he will do. He is the Ancient of Days. I am that I am, which means he will be what he needs to be for us. That's a reverence that we have, the fear of the Lord for the greatness of God and who he is. And verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want wisdom, we need to have the fear of the Lord. And we have the fear of the Lord by way of primarily his written word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Go to Proverbs 15, please. Verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And we will see that this theme of humility or meekness is always involved in receiving the wisdom of God. So humility is connected with wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Go to Proverbs 9. All of God's word is absolutely wonderful. This is, I think, in my mind, a delightful illustration of God's exhortation to us all to walk with his wisdom. Here, wisdom is personified. What personified means is that it's given human characteristics or lively characteristics, okay? So, verse 1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So wisdom, almost lost my pillow. Wisdom is given these characteristics of talking to us and saying, look, I just got the house fixed up, okay? John came over and painted the pillars, all right? Wesley checked the foundation, things are good. Then I went to the store, I went to Restaurant Depot, and I got all the meat that we needed for a nice meal. I got everything there. I got some good wine. I'm sending my helpers out to say, come in, you simple ones. Come in. If you want wisdom, come. Come to the table that wisdom has set. How do we go to the table that wisdom has set? By knowing his word first and foremost. We go to that table. What a delightful way God shows us. Wisdom is beckoning us. It's calling us in here. And God wants us to have wisdom. He loves us. He's an open-handed God. He never wants us to be without what we need. Let's go to Proverbs 1:7. We see simple is different than fool, but in here it talks about fools. Proverbs 1:7. The fear is of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Knowledge,
right. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We don't want to be fools. We don't want to walk away from that which God has set before us. We want to partake of it. He's done it for us. He's done it so that his purposes could be accomplished. And his purposes include us being blessed. He's got a lot of purposes, as we know. But one of them is that we're taken care of. And he wants his purposes accomplished. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is not so that we can be like gurus or, hey, go see Gennaro because he's really smart and he always knows what to do in a situation. It's nothing like that. It's to accomplish God's purpose, whatever that may be. And next week we'll look at that somewhat, how God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But wisdom serves a greater purpose than ourselves. Do we get the benefit of it? Absolutely. We can sit at wisdom's table and enjoy that nice meal. We can just be happy as clams. Or, not clams, we'd be dinner then. we can be happy doodles, you know what I mean? We can be happy receiving that wonderful wisdom of God. And God's purpose gets done. And on top of that, we're very, very blessed and understand things. So, we're going to look at Solomon. I know everybody knows about Solomon, but we're going to just look at a little bit of it and remind ourselves of some of these truths about wisdom. And that's in 1 Kings we're going to go. I'm going the wrong way. There we go. And chapter 4. I hear those papers rustling, they're going through the book. Sorry, just what I think did. Okay, verse 29. And God gave wisdom, gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Ezrahite and Heman and Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So God gave Solomon this great wisdom and largeness of heart, and it was probably just magnanimous to behold in those days, and we'll see about that. And I just want to mention in verse 31, I didn't check out all these guys, but for instance, Heman, he was involved in the temple worship. He was one of the ones that wrote, led the songs out of the Psalter with the people. And I'm pretty sure most of these guys were involved in that, but I didn't look it all up. It'd be something to look at because he had more wisdom than all those countries, than Egypt, and these guys who were definitely involved in the service of the Lord. So with that being said, let's go to chapter 10, I think it is. Yeah, 10. Verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. When she heard the fame of Solomon concerning Solomon?
No.
Concerning the name of the Lord. So apparently, we're getting the idea that this wisdom that Solomon was so prolific in was a glory to God. In other words, you can see God's purposes in this. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. She had questions for Solomon. He was so wise. But his wisdom was from the Lord. And he answered all her questions. That's a gracious God. That's a very gracious God. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away. She couldn't breathe. It was so stymieing, it was so stunning to see this greatness of God in manifestation in this household of Solomon's, and based on his ability to listen to God, she was just blown away. She was completely blown away. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." And here is the conclusion she came to. Blessed be Solomon.
No.
No. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do judgment and justice. See, it prospered the will of God. It was to accomplish his purposes. Meanwhile, who gets all the blessings? Yeah, right? Look at Israel, right? They got really blessed, and God was going to take care of them, and Solomon's household was taking care of everything. And she recognized this. Truly, when we walk in the wisdom of God, people will notice that it's God's working. That's for sure. Isaiah chapter 11. Now we're going to switch it up a little bit and look at a prophecy regarding Jesus Christ and how wisdom would follow him, God's wisdom. Chapter 11. And this is a prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. Verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." What's that? Something Semach, I can't remember. Right? Yes, Semach. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and again, the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Something to think about in there. You know, we can follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and be, you know, swift to hear, slow to speak, swift to hear God primarily. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, and he shall slay the wicked, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness of the girdle of his reins. So the girdle of the loins is the belt that was worn closest to the skin, right around the waist, you know, kind of keep that tummy tucked in for strength, you know, strengthening. And then the next one of the reins has to do with virility. So basically saying that he was girded with great strength in his core, because his core was what God had given him and chosen him to do. He had great strength in all that area, right? We would say now, like, well, he strengthened his core. Well, his was a godly strengthening. So let's read that section again, just to, it's got a lot in it. Let's just think about Jesus Christ and what God did for Jesus Christ so he could do for us, okay? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. And look at the same Jesus. Chapter 11. Verse 29. So this is Jesus speaking. Okay? These are the words of the Son of God right here. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Who knows why Jonas was a sign? Anybody? 3 days in the belly of the whale, and then it's the fish spit him up and he was alive, right? Foretelling of Jesus Christ. So for as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba. Right there. How do you do that? You know how to do that? Oh, that's it, Ariana. Ariana can do it. Queen of Sheba. There you go. The Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South, shall rise up in the judgment with men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Right here. Greater than Solomon. Jesus Christ. Remember, God put wisdom on him, understanding, all kinds of stuff. We just read, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus Christ was what God wanted and needed and did. He did what God wanted and needed. He satisfied the justice of God. And God had wanted us to be saved by him. again, we see the wisdom of God in the plan of redemption. Go to 1 Corinthians. Can you imagine him saying this? I'm right here. Here I am, guys. I'm right in front of you. That's right here. I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What man can direct his own steps? What man that walks can direct his own steps? The wisdom of this world is foolish. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. The good news. The gospel. It pleased God by preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, right? The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the what?
Wisdom
of God. Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Not Christ has some power and a little bit of wisdom from God. Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. We'd chew on that for a few months. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught, things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Again, we see that humility comes into all of this. As his kids, we need to keep ourselves meek. Enough said, we all know that, right? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's a boatload. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in whom? The Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. These things God has provided so that we can have great success in our lives, and also mainly that we could be his children, right? And then that we could glorify him in what we do. James 3, please. James. It's hiding in here. James is hiding somewhere. There it is. James chapter 3. And, but you know what verse I'm going to? 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first what?
Pure.
Next.
Peaceable.
Next.
Gentle.
Next.
Easy to
be
entreated.
Next.
Full of mercy.
Next. Yep. Without partiality and without
hypocrisy.
Yeah. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's sincere. Without hypocrisy, it's sincere. The wisdom, worldly wisdom is, yeah, I know. Uh-huh, yeah, take a look at me. But the wisdom that's from above, from God, is all of these things. Remember I talked about Jesus Christ in Isaiah, that he would reprove, how he would reprove, how he would help. It would be with God's wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. While you're after it, get yourself in line right there. God gives wisdom liberally. It says this in James 1:5, which we'll look at more next week, but it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men freely or liberally, and upbraideth not. He doesn't reproach us. He doesn't chide at us. He doesn't hold back. He's an open-handed God. He's not a closed-handed God. He doesn't say, well, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Like I do with the kids, you know, I hold out the candy bucket and I go, whoop, right? God doesn't do that to us. He's open-handed all the time, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We started in Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And we end by reviewing the wisdom of God. It is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, means it's open to reason, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Remember, wisdom is beckoning us. Beautiful mind picture, right? House is all fixed up, tables set, everybody's waiting around, all the butlers and everybody, you know, the servers, they're waiting around, like, when is everybody going to get here? We got this stuff for them. Where are they? God wants to do this for us. And so next week, what we'll look at is how we can receive that from God, how we can so walk that that wisdom is just a great glory to God and certainly a great benefit to his people. Okay? So that's what I wanted to share.